To think, the Armenian genocide was going on 100 years ago today. I don't know if many people today are learning about the Armenian genocides in school. When I was in school, and I went to a very intense prep school, we touched on it slightly. We learned that it was the Ottoman Empire who killed 1.5 million people, just based on who they were. We learned about the stories, about the beheadings, the torture, the mass murder. And then the next day, we moved on. The United States as a country did a pretty similar thing. While over 40 states, numerous countries, and even the Pope have recognized that the Armenian genocide is a thing, the United States has still not admitted that it even occurred. As a country, though, we don't seem very good at discussing ethnic cleansing and genocide, as we have our own skeletons to admit to. Why do we, though, prioritize how Turkey feels when the Armenian people lost so many in such a horrific manner? And in addition to that, why do we forget all the others who were targeted with the Armenians, like the Greeks? The truth is that we forget so much that's happened throughout world history, and it would be impossible for us to remember all of it. This cannot be an excuse, though, for not telling these stories. Whether we realize it or not, we choose the stories we tell ourselves. The Armenian genocide was committed by the Ottoman Empire against the Armenians. Both of these places have very loose connections to many of us on a daily basis. In fact, I was discussing the topic with a student of mine, and he got the Ottoman Empire confused with a bunch of footstools. It did explain the confused look on his face once I remembered you get an Ottoman with a chair sometimes. So what makes the Armenian genocide evil? What makes evil, well, evil at all? I was part of a group experiment about something similar, and it amazed me how much clarity it brought to the subject matter. Right now, everybody think of a definition of evil, at least one that you can come up with in a few seconds. Okay. Now this is going outside the box. Share that with your neighbor. One person share, then the other. If you don't want to share, that's fine. Join a circle and feel free to pass. But the important thing is sharing the definitions. All right. How many people, show of hands, how many came up with the same definition as the other person? Not many. Merriam-Webster, the bastion of knowledge and learning, defines evil as follows: morally reprehensible, arising from actual or imputed bad character or conduct. Did anyone have that definition? If you did, kudos, and I might have an employer for you. So how come, with all of these different definitions, we can all point to the Armenian genocide and say unanimously that was evil? How come we all had a plethora of definitions, but could all come to a consensus? Does that mean no one really knows what evil is? Or does one person know and has to educate us all? Or do we all have to memorize Merriam-Webster's clunky definition? I hope not. The truth is that we all know exactly what evil is. We feel it. We experience it. We know what it is like to be wronged by evil. Now, it has to be acknowledged that some of us have more exposure to evil than others. I have to admit, I'm lucky. I haven't had as much exposure. Yet, even in my limited exposure, I can recognize it. I can feel it. And the second I attempt to bring that feeling back to my mind, to get that deep, I recoil. There's a pull away. We all have that pull, that desire to not relive those emotions or those feelings. To truly understand what evil is, we need to feel it. What that means is we have to get our minds out of the equation. Trust me, I've tried. It can't be rationalized. I'm a thinker. I'm sure my wife, Debbie, can tell you tons of stories about me being a thinker. But through both my school and conversations with Reverend Frank, I've come to realize that there are certain things that can't be thought. And evil is one of those things. In order to recognize it, we need to get rid of our thoughts when we hear these stories. We need to stop rationalizing them out. Here are a couple examples about how we can rationalize things out. First, there's a group of people who lived on the land for generations. Having grown up independently of the world powers, they had a tough but good life. Wars happening between unrelated countries saw their land being used as a bargaining chip at the peace tables. Ultimately, their entire population was given a choice: swear allegiance to the new government or be killed. 12,000 people fled out of a population of 15,000. That's 4 out of 5 people left their homes to never return again. The second group of people were ruled by a foreign power, fighting a war they did not want. Again, they were used as a bargaining chip at peace talks and handed away. In their new context, they were actively excluded from government. In independence, they were forced to join the new nation without even being consulted. Armed uprisings over the centuries were answered with brutal military killings, not to mention government policies which forced 900,000 people to leave their homes to never return. And eventually all this strife would lead to the risings of terrorist organizations and the military occupation of entire cities. These two stories fascinate me. Notice, without the adjectives though, without knowing who these people are, we can all admit that what happened to them was horrible. We hear what happened to them and our hearts ache. We all have this emotion. We all have this feeling about what we would be like in that story. It's really quite amazing what empathy can do. When I tell these stories to people, people always try to guess who I'm talking about. Native Americans get mentioned a lot. The Palestinians and the Israelis get mentioned. But in truth, this is the story of the Acadians and the Quebecois in French Canada. And the reactions always surprise me. People will say, "This happened hundreds of years ago. It's irrelevant. And why can't they just let things go?" Or, "It can't be that bad. They're in Canada. Canada's a nice place. Many of us want to move there now." While it is true that even those living in Acadia and in Quebec today have varying opinions on this matter, I don't know anyone who would say what happened to them back in the day was good. Even the ones who are ardent Federalists will say that Canada and England messed up. So, why do we have this reaction when we hear the stories of Acadia and Quebec? Why do we write that off and say it's fine? We don't say this about the Israelis and the Palestinians. Could you imagine going to a Native American reservation and saying to them, "It happened hundreds of years ago. You're fine. You're in America. America's a good place." even so, wrong place. And then subsequently from that, how damaging is it to not only refuse the fact that people have suffered, but to also ignore the fact that people are suffering? How healthy can it be to look someone in the eye and say, your suffering doesn't matter to me? Or to say, you're not suffering, who are you kidding? We can say this in many ways, though, not just with words. We can do simple actions, like refuse them safe passage while escaping a civil war. We can simply not tell the stories of the past, ignoring the fact that millions of people were killed for no other reason than who they were. Or we can falsely report a mass shooting based on an assumption and not apologize for it. Or, even worse, we can believe that false reporting and not even question it later. This is what President Wilson was talking about in his speech that Diane read today. He wanted us to simply think about the people who aren't like us. He wanted us to listen to their stories. He wanted us to care. We don't have many connections to the Poles, to the Yugoslavs, to the Armenians. He wanted us to think about what it would be like to be in their shoes, to see the evil as a feeling, to take the adjectives out. And to think this was all about 100 years ago, right after World War I. It's amazing how the words of such a person can still be so relevant today. So do I have a definition to offer? No, I don't. And I don't know if I should try and come up with one anyway. We all know what evil is. Is the definition really important? The more we discuss the definition of evil, the less we're actually thinking about what evil is, the less we're actually looking for it. Our attention needs to be focused on the stories, on the people. Our focus needs to be on helping those in need, regardless of their adjectives, seeing the evil in the story and only wanting to help them through it. So what do we do now? Get involved. Get involved here. Start with something small. Start with coming to After the Marching of the Organizing, Tuesday at 6. Volunteer at community meals. Or call your representatives, voice your opinions, say what you think. And if you want to get involved with something but you don't know what, ask around here. There's always a spot for an extra set of hands. So when we hear stories about things that happen, get rid of all the adjectives. Listen to what's being said. Internalize it. Feel the pain. See the evil. Then get involved to push back against it. Let's make it so the next day we don't move on. Let's make it so we keep fighting. Amen.